you're welcome. I express appreciation for your being here. You say it so often again. I say it every time I stand up, but you do say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So appreciate your desire to be with us very, very much. It's always good to get together. The lesson this morning is kind of a summary of Danny Carroll's lessons he's been giving on Wednesday nights. I'm kind of giving a summary, so he's been taking each one of these things individually and giving a lesson by itself on each of these topics. So it's kind of a little review for those who attend on Wednesday nights. There is an outline, the bulletin this morning, if you'd like to follow along. Titled the lesson, Five Great Bible Truths. There's certainly more. We're just going to key on these five in our lesson this morning. A way of introduction, a verse I didn't even put in your notes. But when Jesus told a parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil, he mentions in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, says, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and we become unfruitful. I don't want that to happen. We don't want the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, or the lusts of other things to choke the word out of us and we become unfruitful. So the lesson this morning, I just kind of put there, here's five things to remember. And hopefully the remembrance of these things will move us to maintain a straight path of life. So here's what we want you to think about. Number one, remember that life is short. We don't need much remembrance for that. Life is short. Genesis 5, verse 27. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years. And he died. Wow. Lived the longest of any other person. Yet perhaps at the very end, his family is gathering around and thinking, gone too soon. Gone too soon. In Genesis 5, verse 20, all the days of Jared, that's Methuselah's grandfather, all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. He's the second oldest recorded person in the Bible. In Genesis 9, verse 29, it says, and all the days of Noah were 950 years. And he died. The third oldest recorded person in the Bible. Then I've given you seven illustrations that the Bible uses to describe length of life. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, David said, there's but a step between me and death. Just a step. Not much. Just a step. Job 14, verse 1 says, man that's born of woman is a few days. And then he also says it's full of trouble. Few days. Job 7, verse 6 says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. We're not very familiar with a weaver's shuttle, but maybe those of us who are older are. We've seen pictures or seen a weaver shuttle demonstrated, the threads going in and out, and all of a sudden moves that board to swish, swish. There's life. My days are swifter than a weaver shuttle, just one swish. In Psalm 90, verse 10, you're familiar with this one. The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Soon cut off and we fly away. 80. Psalm 103 says, as for man, his days are as grass. Wow. And as, he gives another illustration, as a flower of a field. So he flourishes. The wind passes over it and he's gone. Peter uses a similar illustration. 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. Then he says, oh, but the grass withers, the flower thereof falls away. I wish I could give you more encouragement. Psalm 144 says, man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. Shadow. You're familiar with James chapter 4, verse 14. What is your life? And he answers the question. It's a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. And for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this or that, or go into this city and trade and get gain. Our life, the vapor. This morning's paper, the obituaries. Your names are not in it. He's not for this morning's. There's a lady born in 1922. She lived 96 years. These are all the people that died just in the last week of January or February. Another man born in 1923, 95 years. 1933, lived to be 85 years. 1943, she lived to be 75 years. We're getting shorter lifespan. Born in 1944, 74 years. 1949, he was born after me. He died younger. 1954, 1962, and then in the newspaper, the students at Douglas High School, last Wednesday in Parkland, Florida, 17 people killed, most of them high school students, the ages of 14 to 17. Had a childhood friend die 3 years ago. Lived two doors down. My neighbor lived on the other side of a childhood friend. Called to tell me, Jim Doctor passed away. Oh, 67 years old. A year younger than me at the time of his death. My oldest brother died at the age of 33. He's born with hydrocephalus. My dad died at age 69. I've already outlived him. 71. For those of you, I can see the wheels turning. Okay. Christine's sister died at the age of 44. Life is short. No matter how long it is, if it's short, gone too soon. The second thing to remember is that death is sure. Death is sure. Psalmist said, what man is there that lives that shall not see death? Ecclesiastes 3 verse 2 says there's a time to be born, but there's also a time to die. Yeah, death is sure. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 5 says the living know that they shall die. Yeah. Hebrew writer says in 9 verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Solomon said in Proverbs 27, verse 1, don't even boast of tomorrow. Because you don't know what a day may bring. When we will die, I don't know when. Not guaranteed, even this afternoon. Or tomorrow. There's a man named Jim Fix. He was the author of the book, Run for Your Life. Wanted to get people to be healthy, good heart condition. He died at the age of 44 of a heart attack. The painter Raphael died with a painting half finished. Remember a Bible class teacher told his students, said, students, I want you to repent the day before you die. student raised him. The teacher, we don't know when we'll die. The teacher said, then repent today. Repent today. One person asked me, he said, Brian, would you stop preaching Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin? Would you stop preaching that? I said, I'll stop preaching that if you make me one promise. Thought for a moment. I said, okay. I said, promise me you won't die. Can't promise that. David and Bathsheba had a baby. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, he asked the question, can I bring him back again? David answered his own question and said, no, I'll go to him, but he'll not come back to me. So remember, death is sure. Number two. Number three in your notes, something to remember, the great Bible truth, is that there's a judgment to come. There's a judgment to come. I say these things again to remind us to make sure our house is in order. Make sure we're living right and we're standing on God's side. That's why we're reminded of these Bible truths. When we think about judgment, first of all, it's an individual judgment. You and I will be there. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Though there's a judgment day. Everyone will be there. You can't get out of it. You can get out of jury duty. Got this a while back. 18 reasons or things that you can use to get out of jury duty. And even number 18 just says others. So you can write your own excuse to get out of jury duty. Maybe. But you can't get out of judgment day. There's a judgment to come. There's not any excuse to write. Everyone will be there. Romans 14, verse 12. So then each one shall give account of himself to God. So it's individual judgment. The judge that will be there is one of the greatest judges of all time. It's the Son of God. In Acts 17, verse 31, says he, or because he, meaning God, has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, and whereof he has given assurance to all men in that he's raised him from the dead. So we know Jesus, the Son of God, is going to be the judge. And Paul told Timothy that he will be a righteous judge. And then there's going to be this greatest crowd, because we've already mentioned that everyone will be there. Matthew 25, verse 32 says, before him, meaning this judge, this Son of God, before him shall be gathered all nations. Impressive sight. Everyone will be there. Just picture yourself in that crowd. Impressive gathering. Then the greatest of books will be opened. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, he that rejects me and receives not my words or sayings has one that judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. So we know what the standard of judgment is going to be. It's going to be the Word of God. It's not going to be majority rule. It's not going to be what I feel or what I think is right, what I feel is right. It's not going to be what this very popular person is saying. We're going to be judged by the book. Not by any other religious book. No manual, no book of discipline, no other book by any other author. be judged by the Word of God. In Revelation 20, verse 12, it says, I saw the dead, the small and the great. See, everybody be there. Doesn't matter what your status. Stand before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Books. There'll be more than one. One will be the Word of God, the standard of judgment. One will be the book of life, the record of all God's children. And still another book. In Romans 2, verse 2, it says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And John 17, verse 17 says, thy word is truth. We're going to be judged by the truth, the word of God. Not by any human organization, not by any religious organization. Not going to be judged by the church or any hierarchy. Jesus said, it's his words that will judge us in the last day. And then you have the greatest verdict and the greatest separation ever known to man. We just mentioned about life being short and death being sure. And we've noted even in your life and mine, you probably even thought about people who have passed on and those separations have taken place. But this separation, Matthew 25, verse 32, shall be gathered before him shall be gathered all the nations. He'll separate them one from the other. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And we've seen that. If you've lived on a farm, you've seen how a shepherd or farmer divides the stock. Typically, he'll move them through a pen. Oh, this way. You might even have a stick or someone sitting there, a narrow pen. But send that one that way, that one that way. Send this one that way, this one that way. Left and right. As the animals come through. Verse 34 in Matthew 25. The king shall say to those on the right hand, come. And he calls them blessed. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And that was in our text that was read to us. Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's what Jesus said. But then there's the left hand. In verse 41, the left hand. Oh, depart from me. Depart from me. So just remember there's a judgment to come. Life is short. Death is sure. And there's a judgment to come. Number four in your notes, you put there's a hell to shun. Oh, yeah. Jesus said, fear not him who's able to kill the body. Well, I'm afraid anybody wants to kill my body. But there's a greater fear. As much as I'm afraid of that. But he's because that person's not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And hell is described in Mark 9, verse 48, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Oh. Boy, the fire is not quenched. I have to back away from the barbecue. Wow. And hell is described as a fire that's not quenched. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it's the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. It calls it a second death. Yeah, because you're on the left hand. If anyone ever says, I don't believe in hell, Brian, that doesn't destroy it. So you don't believe in it. The Bible says it's still there. Years ago, I've kind of used this phrase, illustrated before, but years ago, I used to see bumper stickers, and the bumper sticker would have three lines, The one line said, but God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, yeah, that's pretty good. But then the more I thought about it, I said, no, that's not right. First one, yeah, God said it. Second line should say, that settles it. Third line should be, whether you believe it or not. Right, I don't believe it. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. John 17, verse 17, thy word is truth. It's up to those who stand in front of you or those who sit beside you to use words of persuasion. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You have to be persuaded. The last one, remember there's a heaven to gain. Oh, yeah. Heaven to gain. And that was the text. Let not your hearts be troubled. You think of these first four that, oh, my goodness. Life is short. Death is sure. There's a judgment and there's a hell to shun. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So then he gives that phrase, I go to prepare a place for you. There's a place for everyone here. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again. I receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Yeah, I like that. Verse 6, he says, I am the way. Thomas said, well, Lord, we don't know the way. Where are you going? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a truth among many truths. No, I'm the truth. Didn't say I'm a life among many lives. No, I'm the life. The way, the truth, the life. Not a truth among many. No, he is the truth. If any man comes to the Father, just come by him. Let's do that. So that's the lesson today. At the close of each lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. I've given you five reasons to become a Christian. I've given you five reasons to remain a Christian. So where I put in your notes, where you spend eternity depends on what you do with these five Bible truths and others. So let's stand together, sing the song of invitation that Dennis has selected for us. You need to respond in a public way if that's your desire, if that's your resolve. That you want to be baptized for remission of sins, or you want to have brethren pray with you, for you, over a decision or a situation at hand. We can certainly honor that request. You've heard the gospel message.